This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
Anyone who's had my inner peace rocked to a whole new level over the last 2 years. Whilst we seem to be moving on from the pandemic, we all now have to figure out how we do living with COVID. The laws on meeting others and wearing masks have been lifted, but I know I feel a bit unsure about when to wear a mask, and more importantly, how to love and care for those who are still vulnerable, many of whom are in our church family. Maybe you feel the same. Whilst we navigate this new season together, I have a couple of questions for you to soul and emotions these days. Would you say you feel peaceful most of the time, some of the time, or none of the time? As I was preparing this talk, I decided to pay more attention to my own mind, soul, and emotions, and my own inner peace or lack of. This is what I discovered. Some days I woke up feeling stressed and anxious, certainly not a peaceful start to my day. Other days, my peace would evaporate when these sorts of things happened. I heard sad or upsetting news. I got a phone call or text message to say plans had changed or were cancelled. I found myself navigating a tricky conversation with my husband or one of my teenage children. The driver in front of me was driving well below the speed limit. The driver behind me was right behind me. I have two phones, and last Sunday morning, I accidentally dropped them both down the toilet in the back corner of this very building. That toilet over there has a lot to answer for. Whilst I definitely didn't feel peaceful when I saw the phones sliding into the toilet bowl, I've definitely had a more peaceful week with only one phone in use. One of the phones is broken. If you've tried to get hold of me and wondered why I haven't replied, now you know. The loss of my phone and the examples I've mentioned are just everyday situations where my peace evaporates. You may relate to these, or the things that steal your peace might be much bigger issues. You may be losing sleep and peace over these sorts of things. What shall I do with my life? Will I ever find a job that is fulfilling? Will I be healed? Will I be able to pay my bills this month? Will I find someone special to share my life with? How can I go on living with this person? What's going on in Ukraine? That's a big issue at the minute, isn't it? If, like me, you find yourself struggling to feel peaceful these days, then I have good news for you. Just before Jesus died on the cross, he gave his disciples the gift of his peace. The peace Jesus spoke about was not the kind of peace that we feel when all our ducks are neatly lined up in a row and we're having fun. The peace Jesus spoke about was a peace that comes from knowing God and doing his will. Jesus knew this peace in the core of his being. And this is why he could endure the agony of crucifixion with a peaceful heart. This morning, we're going to be looking at a few verses in chapters 14, 16, and 20 of John's Gospel, as well as a few in Philippians. If you're not familiar with the book of John, this is the fourth book of the New Testament and comes after Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the other books which give an account of the life of Jesus. Before we jump into John 14, let me just give you some context to the words that Jesus speaks by giving you a whistle-stop shortened version of chapters 13 to 17. In John chapters 13 to 17, we read about what Jesus said and did during the last meal that he had with his disciples before he was crucified. You may have heard this occasion called the Last Supper. Although they didn't realize it at the time, this was a hugely significant event for the disciples. Jesus knew that he was coming to the end of his own life on earth, and he had important things that he wanted to say to the disciples, some of which they didn't understand at the time and only realized what Jesus actually meant later. So in John chapter 13 to 17, Jesus began the evening by washing his disciples' feet. He gave them a new command to love one another. Liz spoke about this a couple of weeks ago. If you want to catch up on that, if you missed it, if you just head to YouTube and search for Liz Vineyard, you can hear it. He told his disciples that he was going ahead to prepare a place for them and that he would lead them to this place. Jesus told them about the promised Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit would do for them. At this meal, Jesus told his disciples that one of them would betray him. Jesus also told Peter that he would deny him three times, something Peter was convinced would not happen, but did. He told them that he wasn't going to be with them much longer. As you might imagine, there was a lot of information for the disciples to take in, and I think they were feeling pretty confused, a bit bewildered. They were feeling unsettled. So this is the background to the words that Jesus speaks to them about peace in John 14, verse 27. So if you want to grab your own Bible, the words are on the screens, but if you want to use your own device or your own Bible, it's John 14, verse 27 and John 16, verse 33 for now. If you haven't got a Bible of your own, please take one of the ones that are in our pews. We'd love you to have that as our gift to you. So John 14, verse 27, we read, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." A little later in John 16, verse 33, Jesus says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." In the Greek, the word Jesus uses for peace in these verses is eirene. Eirene has a number of meanings, but the one that is most important here carries the sense of a peace that comes from knowing Jesus deeply. It's a peace that comes from being saved and doing God's will, or being in God's will on earth. It's not a peace that comes from external circumstances. When Jesus says these words to his disciples, it's as though he is saying, "I give you salvation, which comes from knowing me and being in my kingdom. A salvation which forgives, heals and restores, and which results in no more fighting between you." This bears repeating. When Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you," it's as though he's saying, "I give you my salvation, which comes from knowing me and being in my kingdom. A salvation which forgives, heals and restores, and which results in no more fighting between you." Wow. The disciples obviously needed the gift of this peace back then, just as much as we need it today. Just like us, they could sometimes fight and quarrel amongst themselves. I hope that's just not my family. Jesus knew that the disciples would need this peace to carry on with their lives and to fulfill God's plans after he had died and gone to heaven. Come with me now to John chapter 20 and verses 19 to 21. At this point, Jesus has now been crucified and buried. The resurrected Jesus has appeared to Mary, but not yet to the disciples. We read the following. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Isn't it just wonderful that the first words Jesus speaks to his beloved disciples was, "Peace be with you"? Jesus knew they needed to hear these words to calm their hearts and minds. I wonder whether they remembered that he had said very similar words to them a few days before at that last meal together. I wonder. I don't know about you, but I could do with some more of this peace that Jesus gave his disciples. How do we find it, though? If we take a long, hard look at how Jesus lived his life, we can see that it was his prayer life that fueled everything he did. Jesus lived from a place of peace by spending time with his Father in prayer. We see Jesus praying before every key moment in his life, including his crucifixion. The prayer that he prays before he dies is beautiful, and we haven't got time to talk about it now, but it's worth having a look at the prayer that Jesus prayed just before he died. It's absolutely beautiful. So as we bring our lives to God in prayer every day, we too can enter into this peace that it's available to us. We can ask God to show us his will for our lives every day and ask him to fill us with his peace afresh. In Philippians, a letter written by the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, we're given some further guidance on how to find this peace that Jesus talked about. Head with me now to Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What do these verses tell us? We can experience the peace of God as we bring the things that matter to us before the God who loves us. Our prayers can take many forms: quick, short prayers said under our breath, prayers that we write down, prayers that we sing. We can pray without speaking a word in God's presence. I do a lot of prayer journaling. This helps me process emotions like anger, sadness, jealousy with God. I know other people who use tools like Lectio Divina or the Examen to help them pray. If you feel your prayer life needs a boost, please check out leedsvineyard.org/pray, where we have lots of resources to help you figure out how to pray in a way that suits the way God made you. We're all different. We need to figure it out for ourselves. So as you head into this week, why not ask God to highlight the times in your life when your peace evaporates? Maybe like me, you realize you don't have it when you first wake up. Why not start your day in prayer? If you discover your peace disappears during the day, could you find a time to draw close to God on your own sometime during a lunch break or before you go to sleep? If there are specific situations that you don't feel peaceful about, how can you give these to God on a daily basis while you wait for him to work or change things? As I was praying about this talk, I sensed the Lord wanting to give all of us the gift of peace this morning. If there is a situation in your life where you feel you need more of God's peace, why not hold your hands out like this, and I will pray for you. David, Alison and Andrew, will you join me? Come, Holy Spirit, thank you that you know each person here in this building and watching online. I ask you now to fill each person inviting you in with your peace, your precious peace.
Yeah, I just had a sense that when Sally asked that question early on about whether you feel peace all the time, some of the time, none of the time, that perhaps one or two people who, there's a sort of moment of realisation there that actually I don't think I feel at peace any other time, and just sort of put you in touch with a kind of normal for you, which is a lack of peace, just a residual level of anxiety, and I just feel like the Lord wants to reach into that now and just to put you in touch with this solid, unshakable peace that Jesus offers, that Sally's been talking to us about, a bit like just have a picture of a river with the chatter of the water, but then this solid riverbed that runs underneath, which perhaps you haven't realised is there. And so if that's you, just perhaps ask the Holy Spirit to show you that to you, to put you in touch with that deep sense of peace. And we'd love to pray with you if that resonates for you. So I'm just going to pray into that now. So Holy Spirit, will you, for those people here, for whom that's relevant, for those of you online, also, Lord, will you just open their hearts to this deep peace that you offer to us, Lord. This deep reality, these everlasting arms that surround us, Lord, in our lives, in spite of the swirl of thoughts and emotions that we can experience at times. Lord, would you fill them with your steady, unshakable peace?
Yeah, let's just stay in that place, I think. Like Sally said, this is not about nice circumstances, all your ducks in a row. This is nice weather for ducks, though. But it's about this is God, this is Jesus, the risen Lord, coming to you and saying, peace be with you, that's something out of this world. And I felt as many of you who feel troubled, a bit like Andrew was saying, you're not at peace. So this is not sort of psychotherapy. This is the living God, the Holy Spirit of God coming to heal and to change and to bring his deep peace. So just receive that, brothers and sisters. Just receive that. You can't manufacture it. You can't make it happen. You just invite the Holy Spirit to come.